All right, so tonight is the Saturday night talk. We are very excited, and I'm not going to try to get too overwhelmed, but I'm really blown away that we got Papa Willie, who will be starting off our talk tonight, and then Jack C. will be coming in afterward.
So, it's a special night.
It's a really special night. So I would like to turn it over to Papa Willie. Yay.
Hi, my name is Papa Willie.
Hey, Willie.
So happy to be here tonight. I'm kind of pissed off because you guys yelled for Jack and didn't yell for me. I was here first, yeah.
So,
yeah, okay then. I want to thank, you know, Special West, Matt. He's somewhere back. Hey, thank him for asking me with such passion to do this. And some of you guys know that my youngest boy graduated from college yesterday.
Yeah.
And he was the one.
Yeah.
And he's the one that kind of made my life compete because I wanted to try to make sure that I did something right. So I raised him from a little bitty boy to the end. And so he's gone on his way now. Like I often talk about, you know, I ran a good race. I put up a good fight. Mm-hmm. And I kept the faith. And that's what happened with me and my boys. Mm-hmm. Hey, guys, it's so good to be here. It's good to be anywhere at my age. And so it's good to be standing this way instead of laying that way, you know, you guys. So it's really nice. Haven't had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. We try to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Now, some people get that mixed up. It's nowhere in here does it say that you have to work these steps before. So haven't had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. Because you may have heard them in the rooms. You may have practiced with your sponsor. Haven't got to the 12th step yet. So that does not mean that you don't get to carry this message. When we come in these rooms, we hear for a while, that's the pledge we make. That I get my recovery no matter how much, how little it is, so long as it's one. So long as I'm one step ahead of the guy that I'm trying to give this message to. So you have whatever it takes right now to go out there. If somebody tell you that they have a problem with alcoholism, you get to put your hands around them and say, come on, welcome home. We welcome you. So before you can get to the 12 step, I'm so glad we're not in a regular Al-Anon room because I get thrown out when I read what I'm getting ready to read. So we want to talk about how did this all get started? Often people say, we don't need the 12 traditions. We don't need the traditions. We don't need that. They go to sleep on them. But let me read how it started. This is page 28 of that other blue book. And it's if you can't find 1228 and you don't know how to read, Roman numbers, it's XV111. So, okay. All right. Our society then have entered a fearsome and exciting adolescent period. The test that is faced with, could these large numbers of erstwhile erratic, I'm not going to change the words, alcoholics, successfully meet and work together? Would there be quarrels over membership, leadership, money? Would there be striving of power, prestige? Would there be schisms which would split AA apart? Soon AA would be set by these very problems on every side and every group. But out of this frightening and disrupting experience, the conviction grew that AA had to hang together or die separately. That's why it's a we program, not an I program. We had to unify our fellowships are pass off the scene. Now, as I read through this next priest part, I got some. We had them today with traditions. I brought some handouts so you could follow along with me. But if you don't need them, then it's okay. But let me do it this way so that I don't have to. Since you don't have your pamphlets with you, you can pass those off on the Eric. Okay, and see as I read if you can. If it sounds familiar to you. As we discovered the principles by which the individual's alcoholics could live, so we had to evolve principles by which the AA groups and AA as a whole could survive and function effectively. Now, if you read the 12 steps, 12 traditions, you probably recognize that. It was thought that no alcoholic man or woman could be excluded from our society. Sounds like tradition 3 to me. That our leaders may serve but never govern. Okay. That each group would be autonomous, and that there would be no professional class of therapy. There would be no fees or dues. Our expenses were to be met by our own voluntary contributions. That would be the least possible organization, even in our service centers. Our public relations policy were to be based upon attraction rather than promotion. It was decided that all members ought to be autonomous at the level of press, radio, TV, and films. And in no circumstances should we give endorsements, make allegiance, or enter public controversies. This was the substance of AA 12 steps, which stated in full page on page 564 of this book. So as you can see where these traditions come from. Okay. Tradition 1, our common welfare. And I'm going to try to phrase this in practical language. So I'm not a scholar, but I can talk. I just like talk, everyday talk. So I'm going to try to put what's written here into if you and I were just talking in a conversation one-on-one. Our common welfare should come first. Personal progress for the greatest number depends upon unity. Now, Roger. This is Roger. This is what he used to do. Welfare. You heard me? Welfare. Since I don't know the meaning of welfare, I looked it up. Welfare. Statutory procedure or social effort designed to promote the basic physical and well-being of people in need. The second word, unity. That's a state of being united and joined as a whole. And you remember this said, our, not mine, our common welfare, which means everybody in this sphere here. Welfare is more important than just mine by itself. Because if I only can accomplish my welfare and you not sitting in those seats, then my life would be all screwed up like it was before I got here. So I need you to be me. The tradition number 2 for our group purpose is but one authority. Okay, authority. What the hell is that? Authority, according to Webster's Dictionary, is the power or right to give orders, make decisions, and enforce obedience. He had absolute authority over his subordinates. That's what that meant. Okay. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. You guys heard that in the beginning. What does that mean? We trusted servant, they don't govern. It means I don't have the right to tell you what to do or you what to do or what to do. We get to make unified decisions. We get to all take an issue and try to decide what's best for the group, and the greatest number is usually the best thing for the group. But if that's not, we get a chance to listen to somebody who's dissenting, and somebody who's dissenting that have a different opinion than we have gathered, and they present that to us. Many times, we vote just because we, without thinking about it. A lot of times, a person in the minority actually is thought about what's going on, and when they bring that forward to us, oftentimes, I may change my vote. So sometimes, the raw vote of the majority is not the best situation if it's not thoroughly thought out. So, now, one other thing I learned. I learned this at the World Service Conference. You have, we used to line up on one side of the aisle, those who was pro, and the other line up on the left side who was con, or vice versa, whichever one. And you see two people come to the mics and then direct opposed to one another. But here's what the group conscience says. It says, for our group purpose, there's but one authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Okay, what the hell does group conscience mean? Conscience is an inner feeling of voice viewed as acting as a guide to the rightness or wrongness of one's behavior. So that's what we're doing. And so the group conscience may state go against what I originally felt. But watching these two people on two different sides of the aisle talk about a situation and really give their heart out for it, and the group vote against one another, then after we leave the poll, we go to the cafeteria and see them eating together, and they're not even talking about it anymore. So what is my job? My job is, once this group conscious is, and I shared what my part was, what my voice was, once the group decide what the conscience is going to be, it's my role as a good trusted servant to be able to enforce whatever that is. I support, even though I was against it in the beginning. Okay, number three, the relatives of alcoholics, when gathered together for mutual aid, may call themselves Al-Anon family group, provided as a group, that's a word group again, they have no other affiliation. The only requirement for membership is that there be a problem of alcoholism in a relative or friend. So here in recent years, we've heard the term often thrown around, qualifier. And sometimes if you're new out there, you may think that's a little confusing. You think you may have to have some other credential. No. The only requirement, the only one, not 15, the only one, the most single one that you need to have is somebody's drinking bothers you. You know, that's all it takes to come into these rooms. And you come sit your butt down and hear what we've done to deal with that kind of a situation. And I guarantee if you sit here long enough, you'll get to the point where in your life, the things that the person in your life who got you here, you will not only be, you won't no longer be pissed off and resentful at them, but you have a lot of gratitude for them. Because the woman who got me here 36 plus years ago, I'm so ever grateful for her today. Because I wouldn't be the person I am today had she not got me in the room and learned what you guys tell me. I learned from you. It's not a power down. It's a power up here in these rooms. We work with what they call an inverted triangle. Well, when I was area delegate, I was at the bottom of the pit. The groups were first, then the districts, and then the different coordinators and stuff, then the area delegate. So we work from an upside down triangle. When you look at it, you see A is the same way. Number four, each group should be autonomous, except in affecting matters of another group or Al-Anon as a whole, Al-Anon or AA as a whole. What the hell does that mean? That means that we can sit here and make a good group decision that we will come here every year and we will have a party, we'd have a poker table over here and some girls over there and all the things we ain't supposed to be doing. But hell, what happens if the rest of the fellowship, you know, that they had this Al-Anon group up here in Malibu partying out? Is that going to affect AA and Al-Anon as a whole? Especially some AA members here get drunk. What's that going to, you know, how's that going to affect this group? So that's why they say we are tolerant. Now, we can have this speaker meeting. We can have all the topic and the topic leaders. That's the autonomy. That's the thing we can do. But we have to really guard by doing things that are going to affect our fellow man. The best way to do this is if you're a member of your family, you want to go out and do anything that's going to cause them harm. The most simple way to think about that tradition. Do I want to cause harm to my fellow member? So that's why we get a chance to make our decisions of what kind of meetings we have. Like Al-Anon could have a speaker meeting. They can have book study meetings. They can have a meeting, you know, one day at a time. Or like 7 o'clock Lex Rock, we can do that and have a birthday meeting. All that is within the autonomy of the group, and it's not adversely affecting AA or Al-Anon as a whole. Number five, each Al-Anon family group has but one primary purpose, to help families of alcoholics. We do this by practicing the 12 steps of AA ourselves and by encouraging and understanding our alcoholic relatives and by welcoming and giving comfort to the families of alcoholics. So that's a lot of stuff in five that we get to do. 12-step work, you get out of our heads when we're doing for others. That's why they shared in here. They said each group should make sure there was any word in here I didn't understand. Oh, no, it's a little bit later down. Oh, autonomous. I forgot that. And number four, autonomous means of a country or region having freedom to govern itself and control over its own affairs. That's the word autonomous. And that's the word that most people come in here with, have a difficult problem with, that and the word anonymity. Now, I hear a newcomer go, and I used to sponsor our teams. You really should sit in a room and hear them try to pronounce that word and then try to figure out what it was about. So let me go back to five. We only have one purpose here. We don't give food drive to help the poor just because we know that'd be something that they get to do. We don't get to have raffles to help our political agency here. We don't even get to, and we'll talk about that a little later, do things to help this facility because they're kind of outside the issue. Our only requirement is to be able to help another person in need, who has a family member drinking bothers them. And you notice I didn't call them alcoholics, because only one can call themselves an alcoholic is them. Once they get to an AA meeting, then they can say, "Hi, my name is so and so. I'm an alcoholic." I don't have that right. They have that right, but I don't. Number six, our family groups ought to never endorse, finance, or lend a name to any outside enterprise. Less problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary spiritual aim. Although a separate entity, we should always cooperate with Alcoholics Anonymous. Why? Let me talk about the first part of that, and then I'll try to segment on the other part. Our group should never endorse, finance, or lend our name to outside enterprises. Why is that? Well, what if just for instance, we go out and we address Ralph's Market as being the best supermarket in the town? How do you think Vons is going to feel about that? You know, so what do you think of Vons customers going to come to an Al-Anon meeting that is supporting Ralph's? So we don't put our name on any other entity because we don't want to be affiliated with their causes. Our only requirement and our primary purpose is to help families of friends and alcoholics. That's our primary purpose here. Okay, that's the other part. I talked about prestige, the property. Oh, Less problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary future aim. We can thank John D. Rockefeller for that. Because in the beginning time, you know, Bill went to BitCoin. He was a stockbroker, one of the great salesmen. And I'm just assuming from what I've read in the book that he ran with those guys. He saw them in different segments. So he had talked about John, because John and them had a big party for him or something. And he asked them about donating to the cause. They wanted to have this big, I guess, Amazon kind of outfit where everything AA was going to be the big deal, and they would all have these financial gains. And John D. thought about it for a while, and he called Bill up and said, "Bill, if I give you money, you run this thing. Because what's going to happen when you take money from outside entities? What happens? They have initial control." Mm-hmm. And so if they have control, how autonomous can we be? So we need to remain autonomous. I need to not have any special issues to help you. You know, I can't go, even though I was an old union rep, I can't go out and get on a picket line against and say this Al-Anon. No, I can't do that. Because there's members that's on the other side that members of Al-Anon too. So we can't pit sides against each other, so we keep our hands off. The last thing, this last phrase sometimes people smile about, say, although a separate entity, we should always cooperate with Alcoholics Anonymous. Why is that? Why AA doesn't have that? Well, they didn't need it because they was here first. But why do we cooperate? Because we want to have family events. Who's going to be at some of the family events? You know, you're going to have Al-Anon, AA, and Alateen. This is a family disease. So if it's a family disease, how can we exclude one of the members of the family? This is an all-inclusive program. So that is the reason when we say we always cooperate with Alcoholics Anonymous. That is the primary reason. Number 7, every group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contribution. Some of you guys may not know, but many of you do. Andy was my stepson. And in that household, we had traditions. We had family meetings. And what we got to do, and Andy was a great example of explaining how the 7 tradition work, and it's not just about money. We talked about that earlier. Who's going to take out the trash? Who's going to help mom with the dishes? Who's going to go to the grocery store? Who's going to help me with the yard? How can we all contribute to this family unit? So that's what the 7 tradition is. What the most valuable thing you can do is put your butt in a seat. That's serving too, because if you're not sitting out there, then there's no place for me to come and get recovery. So I need you to be here, and that helps me. So understand, when you're down and out, no matter what, tune into a meeting, because the other person on the other side of the room is going to need you sitting in that audience on that TV screen, Zoom screen, so they can tell you what's going on with them. Because just telling you what's going on with them helps them feel better. It's just reverse. One of the things that helps me when I see you is when I'm sharing with you and I look into your eyes, how you sharing with me, I see that me too. I've been through that too. So that gives me the courage and the connection with you to share this intimate things that's going on with me that I wouldn't share with John Blow on the streets. So the 7th tradition is not all about money. It's about service too. 8, Al-Anon 12-step work should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. What the hell does that mean? Well, I did look up the word employ, and Thanks, Roger. You know, you may not be here, but you're here. You ever work to someone and pay them for it? You know, I belong to another program where I'm in a trade where people ask me, and they will not observe the seventh tradition, but they say here, you know, government, it says here, employ, give work to someone, and then pay them. Don't ask them to do it for free. Pay them. Okay. That's what employ means. Okay. Okay. How many of you guys have ever been to do service down at the Al-Anon office? We call it the service center. I see Pat, Nigel, all these guys that's doing work at the service center. That's a special center. Now, you guys are volunteers, but we need somebody to be there every day. Most of you guys got jobs. You can't be there every day. So we have to hire somebody to keep that office open, even if we have 15 people come in at night and mind the phone and day and night to mind the telephones. And what are they doing minding the telephones? When a member calls at that L.A. central office for find out where a meeting is, somebody has to be on the other end of that phone. Else maybe tomorrow may be 1 minute or 1 day too late. So we deal with the disease of alcoholism 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Alcoholism does not take any days off. It doesn't get sick days off. And so therefore, we don't get them either. We have to deal with it daily. So our service center has somebody there to open the office every day. And they have other administrative jobs. And you got to go take your pills, right? Yeah, you got to have others. I'm always a dad, but you know, you have others whose job is there to make sure that the door is open so those phone calls can come in and the people can get the service that they need. They also need someone there who audit the literature, and you need people there to help stamp it, help people to help pack it and stuff like that. So that's what this tradition gives us. That, okay, now we want to go to 9. Our groups as such are never be organized, but we may create service centers. Well, I talked a little bit about that. Our committees, directly responsible to those they serve. For instance, when I was an area delegate, we had several committees. So you have the literature committee, public, it's similar to public relations committee. You have the finance committee. So all these committees are volunteer members that help us in this area manage our Southern California World Service. So, and some of the people there are not, none of those people are paid, but they have to answer to somebody, to those they serve. And who are they serving? They're serving this area. So they can't go off and do things in a renegade form. They ain't supposed to. Sometimes they do, but they ain't supposed to. So when they have anything that's going to affect this area in a really detrimental way, we have to, that's why they have an area committee meeting, two area committee meetings and two area assemblies. And that's where the business in this area is taken care of. Okay, you okay? You drop on your pills?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So that's what we do here. So that's what that's how our area manage the stuff here. And our contributions that we put in the meeting, we send a portion to the LA Intergroup, we send a portion to our area, we send a portion to the district. And so these are entities that's outside of the group, but they're all volunteer entities. That's what it takes to make this thing work. Okay. 10. Al-Anon family groups have no opinion on outside issues. Hence, our name ought to never be brought drawn to public controversy.
What does controversy mean?
It's Australian. That's where it comes from. The guy first came here. The guy who first pronounced it that way was from Australia.
England, way of Australia.
Okay, cool. So, okay. Oh, yeah, he moved. Okay. So, Ed should never have an opinion, so which means that we can't go out and endorse any one of the political parties because we don't want that because that's both sides. If you think it's not, let us get a conversation going between Democrats and Republicans in this room, and you see how this room light up with a whole because everybody have their different opinion. So Al and I say, hell, I don't want none of that. So I'm going to keep that out of here. So we don't get to talk about politics. We don't get to talk about religion either because we got tons of different religions and non-religious folk in here. So my religion is better than yours, and yours is better than mine. Or I believe in this, and you believe in it. We don't want that kind of stuff in these rooms. Because what does that do? Just the opposite of tradition one. Tradition one says let's unite. These divisions in public, endorsing just different people's products and services that are committed, that's a separation. That separates us. We get further and further apart the more distance we have in our political and other and religious beliefs. Okay, number 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain person anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, and TV. And that's that word that I got an answer for. Anonymity. The condition of anonymous. Okay, what is anonymous? Anonymous, not identified by name, of unknown name. So I know you guys didn't think you can come to your first grade class today. But anyhow, that's what we do here. Let me talk a little bit about that. Our public is based on attraction rather than promotion. It's really prevalent in both, let me go back to step 12. Step 12 is the epitome of attraction. When it says here, we carry this message to others, but more than that, we practice these principles in all our affairs. I have to look like I'm doing the right thing for you to be able to respect me and hope and want to do the right thing. So I have to look like I talk. Now, Jack's getting away with it tonight, but we have to wear ties when we get to speak before you because I have to look like I'm doing things. But I got on tennis shoes, so that doesn't matter. Either, so. I don't have on cowboy boots. I got on tennis shoes and things. So, what do you call, what's that thing? Zoom has only sees this high up. So, you know what I got on down here. But that's what it's like. Okay, and we need to guard. Okay, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion, which means you see information, public information about AA and Al-Anon, and you hear people sharing and talking about it. But we don't go out and wear picket signs and say, "This is Al-Anon, come here." We don't do that. We put public service announcements. We don't even pay for them. We only can place them in spaces where they give us, all radio, TV has to give up some spot for I wouldn't say charity, but for, it means charity, for people, nonprofit organizations and public information. And that's where we put our, I won't say, I can't call them ads, but anything to information about Al-Anon, that's where it go. Yeah. Yeah, PSA, public service announcement. Thank you. Okay. Make sure I got that. Okay, we need God. We need God with special care, the anonymity of all AA members. Remember, we live in Southern California where it's hip to be in the 12-step room, but it ain't so hip in these small towns and small communities. So maybe Jack, not this Jack, but I'm going to use another word. Maybe Robert Johnson is the mayor that has a drinking problem. You think it's going to be good for Jack, for Robert, or the community if everybody knows he's a member of Alcoholics Anonymous? No. Uh-uh, that's not a good deal. So we have to guard that response, his anonymity, so he can be effective in his AA rooms, so he can help other alcoholics in. And we also have to do it the same thing with the kids in Alateen. I have to be very careful when I'm in an Alateen room. I'd go in the room and the parents would ask me, what did they say? I don't know. I'm just sitting there to keep them from burning the building down. So that's kind of what we do. That's what we get to do there. We don't get to default because you don't want to repeat something to them at parents because you go into your home, but that kid has to go back to that house he grew up in. And so we don't want to put him in danger or jeopardy. And so that's why it's very important to who you see here, let it stay here, because in some smaller communities, you know, like we out here in Malibu. First, I read about it, but I ain't never been out here. I've never been out here, you know. So, but we out here in Malibu, you know, and so it's good for me to be here. Nobody from my hood is out here, so they don't know I'm here. So, and that is the reason that you just don't publicize that and tell who was there. Even if you go home tonight, who's in the meeting tonight? Sometimes when you're close friends like Jack and me and Tom and John, Mike, Eric, I may say Eric was at the meeting. Well, because my family already know he was there. This boy spent a lot of nights in my home. So I didn't want to rat you out, but he did. He spent a lot of, He spent a lot of nights in my home picking up this cat. The only one that actually began to treat him like this. I mean, like this. Not like that. He didn't have no pity for him. He said, hey, man, you need to do this. And he would do it. I won't let you get away with this because you got epilepsy. So he has been his friend for over 20 years. You know, so that he used to invite him to the Saturday night gathering news at home when none of his other buddies would walk away when he fall down the track. When he's a track runner and all of his friends would just laugh and run away. But this boy had the courage. He'd get up. The next day, he'd get up and brush himself off and show back up. He showed up here tonight. He's got a scar on his head. So that's when I learned courage. Now, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles above personalities. What is a principle? As I said this morning, we was talking. A principle, the principle of gravity. If I take this book and I drop it, it's going to fall. That's the principle of gravity. So Al-Anon teaches us to practice these principles in all our affairs. What they mean is what we learn in these rooms and who you see here, what you hear here, let it stay here. And when you go outside these rooms, you have to look like an Al-Anon member, not talk like one, or talk like you want. You have to look like one and act like one. Now, talking just don't get us. Talking got us in these rooms. So we have to be an example so that my recovery is strong enough that any of you guys out there would say, I'm going to stay here because my life is so screwed up like his was, and he may have gotten better. Why and how? Well, when I first got here, my first year in the rooms, my sponsor told me you had to do service. So whenever there was a service position come up, my hand went up. It went up so much they told me I had to keep it down. I had to get a church with my hand down. So that's what the service thing is about. One last thing before I go and turn it to Jack. I had a guy when I was area delegate. I went down to Inglewood to do a meeting. Inglewood was one of the few places where there was a pretty predominant black gathering. So after the meeting, one of the guys came up to me after and said, "Hey, brother man." And I know I was in trouble then. Yeah. "Hey, brother man." He said, "Man, we need to start a black Al-Anon. We need to have a black Al-Anon group." So I went to my, at that time, that was in the early 90s. No, I was in 97. So I went back. That time I knew one other buddy of mine that he was in AA. And I saw him down at the San Fernando Valley Convention. And I said, "Hey, Milty." He said, "What, Willie?" I said, "You know, this guy came up to me and he asked me about starting a black Al-Anon. I mean, all, you know." And so Milty said to me, he said, "Willie, let me tell you something." He sit there and he scratched his head. "Okay, here's what you do. You go back and tell him, if you can find some whiskey that only make black folk drunk, you'll think about it." So I just want to say to you guys that this meeting it started with Pat's idea, and I accompanied him to start 7 o'clock Let's Rock. Pat was a very guy with a lot of charisma, but he used me because he knew at that time I was in the World Service. He knew I knew about the traditions. The reason this group is as good as it is and as cohesive as it is because we honored the traditions. As I said to you just earlier this morning, when you talk with Lois and Bill and they say, "What happens if a group doesn't follow traditions?" It says if they don't adhere to this obedience to the unenforceable, they will surely die. We don't have to do anything. We have to take no action because it would kill itself. So the traditions, if you think there's a problem, and AA didn't want them either. You know, they used to tell Bill all the time, "You can come speak any day, but just don't talk about them goddamn traditions." But that was good. So I'll close with this, is the fact that they call it Wits End, and I've had the opportunity to sit at the desk where Bill wrote these 12 traditions back in New York, Stepping Stones. If you ever get a chance, go there. That was the home of he and Lois's. And you see Lois's room, and you see Bill, like any of us, it's typical alcoholic family. Lois had the house and Bill had Wits End. It was a shed out in the back. That's why him and all of his buddies would hang. So what I'll leave you with these three C's. With the steps here, all through these 12 steps, we gain courage. What the tradition does for us is have me look in your eyes and you look in my eyes, and I have that me too syndrome, which is compassion. And you mix courage with compassion, you come out with that third C, an extraordinary great character. Thank you for letting me share.
You're welcome.